A tragic end to Target Tasmania, as we know, but let's not forget that there was a competition going on before all that happened, and the winner this year is Eddie Maguire, who joins me now. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Martin. How are you?
Yeah, good. I don't really want to say congratulations, because I guess under the circumstances, it's not a winning feeling. It's something that's really rocked everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an extreme feeling, something that we've worked towards for quite a number of years now with the aim to win the event, and it wasn't the feeling that I always imagined it would be at the end, that's for sure.
How excited were you allowing yourself to get leading into the first day, knowing that you had about 2 minutes lead at that stage? The official margin at the end of it was 1:57, but until everything went pear-shaped, Angus Kennard was actually taking a few seconds out of you on the final day. But were you feeling a winner the day before?
We tried to not get too ahead of ourselves, to keep our calm, and I mean, anything can happen in tarmac rallying. You can have the smallest issue and be out of the event in no time. So we didn't want to get ahead of ourselves, so we were keeping calm and collected. We just ran our own race towards the end. We got a nice lead, so Angus took a bit of time out of us here and there, but it was all calculated. We knew that if we needed to push a little bit, that we would, but we certainly weren't taking any risks, any unnecessary risks, considering the lead that we had.
And we should mention, of course, your co-driver and navigator, Zach Brakey. You've been a team now for a few years, and I didn't realise you actually went to primary school together, so there's a long friendship there.
There is a long friendship there, so we drove around in paddock bashes as kids, and to now be, you know, winners of Target Tasmania together, it's a pretty special thing. But Zach did a fantastic job. He's so dedicated to the cause, and he's such a focused, calm navigator. And he was obviously a big part to our success last week.
It's been an amazing 12 months for you, really, when you think about it, because you've won the Tasmanian Rally Championship as well with Zach, but in a different car. You're also the reigning Tasmanian Hill Climb Champion and now Target Tasmania Champion. I think you should buy a Tats Lotto ticket.
Yeah, it's been a big year, that's for sure. It's been a great year.
We know that the hollow feeling associated with this year's event, does it make you want to go back next year now and just hope everything goes well and win it and feel more like a winner, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, look, I really enjoy ticking boxes, and to me, we've ticked that box with winning Target Tasmania. I always like a new challenge, and I'm certainly, I don't have the same approach to the Whites. The Whites want to beat Jim Richards' record at the eight wins or seven wins. That's certainly not our approach. So, look, we'll go back and compete, but I'm always after another challenge, and there might be other things, other opportunities in motorsport that might pop up that we might focus on as well.
You mentioned the Whites there, John and Jason, of course. They were chasing an eighth win to equal Jim Richards' record, and they had a lot to do with your car too, because Jason's done a fair bit of the work on it.
Absolutely. Jason does the majority of the work on it, and Jason's a real advocate for the sport, and he's prepared to help anybody that's prepared to listen to him. So he's been my mentor for the best part of the last decade, and then we wouldn't have won the event without him. So he's helped me set the car up. He's helped me build it. He's done the majority of the work. But as soon as they were out of the event, the first thing Jason did was jumped in one of our service vans and followed us around to make sure we got the win. So he's quite a special competitor, and he's so good for the sport.
I wasn't aware of that, but I'm not surprised, knowing Jason. And I think I said to someone, actually, on one of my morning crosses to breakfast radio last week, I said, don't be surprised if Jason doesn't turn up somewhere else on the course looking after Eddie. So that is terrific news to hear. And also, for the Northwest Car Club, I mean, tell you what, your brother Stephen, he won the GT production along with Stuart Benson in a Mitsubishi Evo 10. And Tyler Page, who's also a member of the Northwest Car Club, won the rookie rally in a Subaru WRX. There's some talent in that club.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, they both, Tyler and Steve, did a fantastic job. I'm not really aware, but Steve was the first four-door car across the line, and you might think, well, what does that mean? But I mean, he was the first non-supercar, basically, with a six outright, with a pretty big field, so pretty good quality field. So he ran a really good race.
And only won by 8 seconds as well. Did you talk much overnight between each stage, each day?
Absolutely, yeah. Every opportunity we get, we explain. I mean, I've got a little bit more experience than Steve. He's getting quite a bit now, but constantly trying to help him and coach him and make sure that he's aware of all the little bits and pieces within the stages to be aware of. Constantly in contact with him throughout the day and at night, yeah.
Yeah, and I got that wrong there. He won by 18 seconds. Tyler only won by 8 seconds, but it was pretty tight there in the end. You mentioned to me on day three, I think it was, after the second day, that the sidling was the wettest tarmac rally stage you'd ever done. How tough was this year's event, really? Because the weather was pretty awful, and I was only standing on the side of the road, and I didn't enjoy it much at all.
Yeah, look, it was quite slippery. The sidling certainly was slippery, and back to work this week, I chatted to my brother who'd actually never competed on tarmac before. On wet tarmac before, and he just mentioned that he could not believe the sidling, which was his first experience at wet tarmac.
Yeah, he'd be saying, is it always like this?
Yeah, he said, what the hell's going on here? So he was quite shocked. So it was a bit more slippery than normal. But look, overall the week, there's probably four ridiculously slippery stages. The other wet stages were more slippery than normal. But look, you just got to take it as it comes. And know when to push and know when not to push. Mount Arrowsmith is obviously a 52-kilometre stage, one of the longest stages in the world. And our approach there, we felt that it was quite slippery, and we just thought, well, we're just going to cruise along through this stage until just to get to the other end safely. And Angus King actually pulled a minute 20 out of us, which is an incredible amount. So, look, we just approached it with a sensible approach and pushed when we knew it was safe and didn't when it wasn't.
Yeah, I think it's the right approach. Just finally, before I let you go, Eddie, what are your thoughts from people that are calling to ban the event? I think it's a knee-jerk reaction myself, and we just need to calm down and wait and see what all the inquiries come, what the findings are, I guess. Is that what you think?
Yeah, I don't know what to say, really, but I think it is an overreaction. Maybe there needs to be a little bit more awareness for people as to what they're driving and the conditions of the road, but all in all, I think it's an overreaction, and I think the event will go on to continue.
Yep. Good on you, Eddie. Thanks for your time this morning. Once again, subdued congratulations, as I said, before the end of it, but thank you very much for having the time to talk to us this morning.
No worries. Thanks a lot, Martin.